And also, I hope that there are some things here that we'll be able to point you to that you don't know. And it's a great appreciation of the life and vocal music of Betty Rowe. Betty is with us today, just over here. And she's well known to many of you as a long-standing member of our society. She's a distinguished composer, a performer, a teacher, and an adjudicator. And to all of you who know her, she's also great fun. Now, Betty's approaching her 80th birthday, and she's written a lot of fine music during her life, so trying to condense it into an hour is something of a challenge, but I'm going to try. Ably helped by five singers from the Trust, David, Amy, no, that's Steph. Right, let's start, shall we start again? Right. Jesse, David, Steph, Amy, and Polly. Plus a PowerPoint prepared by Trustee Hugh Milson, who isn't here today, but I'm very grateful to him, and it's going to be managed by Heidi. Here we are with our opening number. All the things they're singing will be on the sheet, so you've got all the information of everything you're doing. And here we are with our opening number.
Just go, I so blooming for a pause. Fit as well In 1939 came World War II, and during the Blitz, Betty joined the local church choir, where she was quickly co-opted and encouraged as a child organist.
My dad used to stand next to me at the organ and tell me what to play and when to play it. But if I wanted to use the pedals, which I could not reach, then I had to stand up and tread on them.
And she also got into the Royal Academy of Music as a junior exhibitioner. By the early 40s, she was performing all the violin and other wartime tunes. She even entertained the street shelter population in the nighttime raids on an inherited piano organ. Here's a wistful piece. It's an extract from a wistful piece, Chit Chat, a later piece, which describes some of those wartime experiences.
Thank you.
accepted as a full-time student at the Royal Academy of Music in 1949, where she studied piano and cello. She also received a few singing lessons during her last term, but she had no formal composition lessons at the Academy, and only a few with Lennox Barclay later in her life. Betty said,
"My musicianship teachers encouraged me to write music instead of having the routine 20-minute harmony lessons. Whoever I talked to, they all said, 'Don't worry about your harmony, dear. Trust your ears.' Later, Lennox Barclay said the same thing. I think it was good advice. Trouble is, I wrote the music, but I never learnt the rules."
Alongside her classical studies at college, Betty continued to play and sing fun songs within and without the church connection, drawing on greats such as Joyce Grenfell, Bea Lilly, and Noel Coward, as well as writing her own quick wit songs. And again, these early influences sing out loud and clear, I think, in her later compositions.
Oh,
activity culminated in the performance of Saints and Sinners at the Irving Theatre in Leicester Square. Much of the music was later published by Samuel French, and some can still be found in the archives there. Oh, the review of the cup is in the archives there, as are a lot of openers and closers as well. An offshoot of this group was Betty's involvement with the Mitre Players, a Croydon amateur dramatic group. It was through the Mitre Players that Betty met her future husband, pianist John Bishop, in 1953. And that's John sitting at the piano there. And Betty and John formed a duo to perform countless concerts of classical and light music. Betty and John married in 1954, and marriage was to be a long and happy one. There they are on their wedding day. And in 1955 came the first of Betty's Christmas cards, at first just a picture there, and she sent them ever since, and later to include an original composition. I shy away from actually performing one today, I'll think about maybe another time, but there's a couple of cards there that have got actual some of the songs that she sang there, which is a marvel of it. 1953 was a significant year for Betty. Her choral music was flourishing. She produced her first large-scale dramatic work for children, Perseus, and her two compositions, The Buttercup and The Cloud, were performed and recorded by the Thousand Voices Mass Children's Choir in British Guiana. This was complete with a pipe band. Now, we have a recording, we hope, of the original and only recording of it. It's very crackly, but you can hear what the intention is behind the crackle. You heard it.
Did you push that? That one. I don't know if it's going to be heard. Have we got some volume? We did have some volume.
Well, I think all the performers were dead, didn't
we? Yeah, we had it in it. It was there. Try it again.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It's only 10 seconds. Because she thought she was only expecting one baby. This was closely followed in 1961 by the birth of her son Simon. And of course, inevitably, there followed a significant amount of children's music. A well-known bestseller is the Ponder and William songs from Barbara Sophie's Ponder and William books. That's that one. I couldn't decide which one to perform out of there, so I thought I would do another one that was also by Barbara Softly, which is the Song of the Bluebell Wood. It's on the Grade 4 Associated Board syllabus, so I'll do that. Thank you.
flourishing at the same time. And between 1962 and 1977, she held the post of Director of Music at the London Academy of Dramatic Arts. She also worked extensively as a session singer with leading London choirs, which included ad hoc work for the BBC Singers and the John Aldiss Choir. On the lighter side, she worked with celebrities, which included Cliff Richard, Harry Secombe, Cilla Black, the two Ronnies, and she even appeared on Top of the Pops. Throughout her career, she continued her connection with the church. During the late 50s and 60s, she was choirmaster and organist at St Helens, North Kensington. Betty ran a thriving choir at St Helens, which eventually became the North Kent Chorale. In 1961, she also became a conductor for the Cunningham Singers, a high-quality amateur group, and she wrote a significant choral work for this choir in 1963. This work, Christus Victor, was a cantata mime for solo voices, choir, instrumentalists, organ, piano, dancers, and narrators. It was for very big forces, to words by the Reverend Jack Catterick. It was
a sequence of words, music, and dance seeking to express the joys of Easter and to assert its message for man today.
It was a groundbreaking work, and the review described it as a thought-provoking event, but as disturbing and startling, but as putting over a clear message. Here are two extracts to show you something of it. The first is a contemporary choral, Blessed Are They, and the second is jazz, really, to demonstrate the wide variety of musical styles.
Sure.
crime of innocence you experience. This piece was for Farnham School Music Festival, and the words are by Charles Palsley.
I had a silver penny and an apricot tree, and I said to the sailor on the white quay, "Sailor, oh sailor, will you bring me, if I give you my penny and my apricot tree, a fez from Algeria, an Arab drum to beat, a little gilt sword and a parakeet?" And he smiled. I saw his red tongue and I felt his sweet breath. "You may keep your penny and your apricot tree, and I'll bring your presents back from sea." Oh, the ship dipped down on the rim of the sky, and I waited while three long summers went by.
Catechism for baritone and piano, the six noble numbers for countertenor, and the Leaver's Lament for overdramatic soprano. There is a lovely piece called The Music Tree, which is part of the three dedications. I heard this at an Association of English Singers and Speakers evening, which Betty presented last September. And here's just the first part of that to give you a taste of it, sung by this.
Little Blue Eye is an obvious favourite for little girls. The
Torch Song from the Pink Parakeet is excellent for older girls. Boys like Squire Squeeze and Film Premiere, which is about Charlie Chaplin. And here's a selection of three others, which I also like.
When the sidewalks are shiny as the waves in Dublin Bay, when the city lights are twinkling in that special kind of way, when the rain comes down on this man's town, then I gotta talk to someone, and this is what I say. Give us the handcuffs and we'll fit. Show us the hoodlum and we'll collar the slob. Give us a tip off and we'll clobber the mob. We've got the boys for the job and the job for the boys in blue. Ask us a favour and we'll answer your shout. Show us the problem and we'll iron it out. Throw down your challenge and we'll toss it about, because without any
he's the lad
for you.
nationally known composer. She also became an associated board examiner, and in 1977 she returned to her post as choirmaster and organist at St. Helens. There were many commissions, big and small, including the three bucolic songs for voice, clarinet and piano, with words by Damien and Sitwell, and the short opera A Canterbury Morning, with words by Ursula Vaughan Williams. In 1982, she began a long association with the Pines Guild, a prestigious organisation for making to play bamboo pipes. Betty became president of the Pines Guild in 1986, following Vaughan Williams and Elizabeth Foster. She was commissioned by the Guild to compose specific celebratory items, including the Pied Piper, the Millennium Suite, and the Greenwood Tree. Recordings of CD. Tim Travers Brown has recorded the five noble numbers as part of a CD of British composers entitled The Frostbound Wood. Frank Hofmeister recorded the Silver Hand for tenor horn and strings as part of a larger project for compositions for tenor horn and strings by various composers. Here is an extract of this lovely piece, which was recorded at Wisconsin University.
Quite a lot of flute music in there, voice and flute music as well.
There also exists a vast amount of unpublished works of all kinds, including sets of children's songs called Prefabulous Animiles and several one-act operas. At present, these works are being catalogued by Ian Sneddon and Carol Kaplan, who are at the back there, and I'm sure will be pleased... Who I'm sure will be pleased to help you with any inquiries that you might have if you wanted to do something. Carol is also coincidentally the singer for whom Betty wrote The Deep Lament, and an erstwhile student of mine. The vast collection includes a work by Betty and Marion called Lunch at the Cooked Goose, which I understand is getting two performances this year, one of which we hope the Trust, down in Swindon. And there is also a youth opera, Brunel, The Little Man in the Tall Hat. Now, this youth opera is how I know Betty, and it was commissioned by the Janice Thompson Performance Trust, we're a registered charity, for the 2006 Brunel Southwest Celebration. It tells the story of Isambard Kingdom Brunel through the lives of the railway workers on the annual Swindon trip to the seaside. It featured over 100 children and young people from 4 years upwards. And here's a taster from the finale of the opera to give you an idea of the forces that we were using. Here we are, hopefully, going over the points.
Twice. I'll get there in a minute.